show. The metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
We are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through mixed deep trance mediumship and our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through mixed deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing your astral body. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open, and the number to call is 877-876-5227. And this is a worldwide free phone number, and it's 877-876-5227.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 2 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books or our work, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And without further ado, I'll hand you back to Sylvie and prepare to go into trance, because this is basically my only part in the show as me. So I'm going to go to sleep and have a nice time, and I hope you have a nice time too.
Okay. Thanks, Mick. Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save us from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. Our method of spirit contact is a very pure and precise method of spirit communication, because apart from the fact that we've been doing this for many years, Mick has spent a long time developing his gift of trance, of deep trance, to a very high standard, and that was even before we went public with it. His spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. And this means that there is no room for errors, because interpretation just doesn't come into it. So once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, do remember that it's not a reading. If you want to join in regarding our show topic, though, the number to call is 877-876-5227. And I do believe Gregory is here.
Hello, dear friends.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, dear friends. Once again, of course, it is with the utmost love that we are here, and I am so pleasured and honored, as always, to be able to speak with you this time.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, hopefully this is going to be a great show, and with a bit of luck, we'll get lots of callers tonight. But you're going to be talking to us, or we're going to be discussing, our astral bodies.
Yes.
So I don't know I have no idea where you want to start.
Very well, friend. Now, it may be true to say that for some of you who have tried meditation, and I have to move along this route because we must accept that some of you may just be learning to travel upon this path of spirituality and the endeavors of looking for what is your spirit, what is God, creation, and everything.
Yes, right.
This, of course, is especially true for those who are outside of mainstream theory of some religious instruction or indoctrination. Mm-hmm. So, when you begin to meditate, or even before then, you may, as a being, have situations in your life that you cannot quite explain. You may have come into times when you are in a semi-conscious state, perhaps just before you go sleeping, or that you are just going to take a nap or something like that, and that what actually happens is that you feel yourself becoming weightless. And this sense of weightlessness may quite simply move on toward another form of journeying that we call astral traveling. To do this is quite simple, but that many people actually find it quite complex and will try to bring many different situations into it in order to try to fathom their way through it. But I'm trying to say to you that, and assure you that this is a very simple situation which happens to many human beings and which is quite common. So what sometimes people may come into in this form of journeying is that they feel weightless, that they possibly will actually come up against something unknown to them before, a little like looking in the mirror, that you come face to face with yourself. Not everyone will go through this who has the experience of astral traveling. And so we are actually talking about this mechanic of astral traveling at the moment and not actually bringing in the sleep state to it, because we will set this sleep state aside for one moment and we will just attend to the pure mechanics of astral traveling and what it is.
Okay.
So you may then be aware that as you lie upon a bed or upon a couch or something like that and you drift off, you do not actually completely go into sleep, but what, as I said, happens is that you begin to feel this form of weightlessness,
mm-hmm.
a kind of sense that you are floating, and that you are floating without contact of any physical surface. Now, as I said, at some times this may appear quite strange, and for some may even be frightening, and you feel that you want to come back very quickly.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And sometimes you will feel this, and you will come back with a big bump,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, and you would start and take a very quick breath inward in order to try to allay the fear that, yes, you are still there and alive and breathing.
Yes, yes.
So it is not to be confused with some people think that they have, as it were, almost had a near-death experience. It isn't that at all, really, although there are paths of it which are similar.
Okay.
Now, what actually has happened there is that if you were looking at your physical body as it reclined upon the couch or the bed, you would see that a slight milky film may appear just a few millimeters, or what would that be, fractions of an inch,
okay.
above the skin of your physical body, and that this would be as a kind of a very thin veil of a smoky substance, which actually will be your consciousness becoming prized from your physical body. Not that it is something which is forced from it, but that you, through your consciousness, allow it to float. And this really will be one of the prime times that you may observe it physically. It may have an iridescent glow to it. It may not. So I dare say for those of you who go out and try this little experiment, the first thing that you would look for would be an iridescent glow, and then you are disappointed that it isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So it will all depend not upon the spirituality of the person who is doing it, because that is another indication that human beings have with one another. Well, they must be very spiritual because their glow is this color or that color or whatever.
And that's not like an aura. We're not talking...
We are not talking auras here, my friend.
Okay, all right. We'll go on to that later.
Yes, quite so. So, and what you would just experience is merely that. You would not see the spirit or their consciousness rise up completely from their body and then take off floating around the room or whatever, what you would actually see is just that slight indication of the separation between the physical state and the superconsciousness, if you like, which is actually enabling your conscious state to have an out-of-body experience. And that really is what your astral travel is. Now, for those of you who may wish to do this as an access point for perhaps to better acquaint yourselves with situations you may come up against or be invited to with your meditation practice, we advise you perhaps to actually do this as a matter of course for your understanding and actually to help you to allay fears you may have about situations to do with your meditation. After all, for many people, when they are moving into the meditation practice, and it doesn't really matter what form of meditation that is, you understand, because do not forget that for some religions, any form of meditation is an evil act. That actually is one of the reasons why people have the sign of the cross put upon their foreheads when they are baptized or whatever. It is actually to close the chakra and your astral body self. It is to make sure that your grounding is only therefore through the interpretation of the priests or whomsoever it has that has laid the cross upon you. It is actually to close your third eye. Now, then, what you would do if you wish to purposefully astral travel is quite simply, you would perhaps, if you have a partner who lives with you or someone else who shares your flat or dwelling place, you would tell them of what your plan is. And what we suggest you do is that you disconnect the phone, disconnect anything that is electrical to do with alarms or whatever, and actually place clocks and any noisy things outside of your room. And you must really try to do this in a time of absolute silence. So if you live in a place that is built up or extremely busy, perhaps in the city or something like that, then you need to obviously shut the windows, so don't do it on a very hot, steaming night. You will need to shut the windows to try to snap out of all of the traffic noise that is around you. You would need to place everything, as I say, outside of the room, which is liable to make a noise, ticking clocks and anything else that may reverberate. This, of course, includes cellular phones and all of that kind of paraphernalia. You would set these outside of the room, then you would go into your room and lock the door. You will tell your friends, of course, beforehand, or neighbor or whatever, that you are going to be otherwise engaged for approximately an hour, as this really is a good time for the experiment to take place. If you are going to have someone who is going to sit in the room with you, they must keep absolutely still and absolutely silent, and make no move whatsoever, not the rustle of paper, not the moving of their feet, scratching of their skin in any place.
So what happens when it happens to you when you're not doing it purposefully? Presumably, who deals with all that? Who makes sure that you're going to be all right in that respect?
Yes. Well, actually, what happens normally is that, for example, if you were doing this during your meditation time, then you are already covered by the fact that you have said your invocation or prayer, you have called in the light or whatever it is that you would like to say it, however it is, you bring your invocation to the spirit world, into your practice. You would use this as the invocation of protection for you, so that no other situation would envelop you from any harm. Mm-hmm. Now, naturally, whenever you move into meditation in this way, you would always say a prayer or invocation. You would always try and pick a time which is the most quiet that you can manage in your life. It may be that you have a lot of traffic noise or something like that because you live in the middle of a city or you are next to a busy main highway.
Mm-hmm.
It may well be that you have become used to these noises and situations and find yourself quite able to relax and be quiet and still within your own inner mind and therefore able to raise your consciousness state and quite simply enable that situation and your meditation to become enlivening for your spirit and your conscious makeup.
Can anyone do it?
Anyone can do this. You do not have to be predisposed, have found a natural spiritual gift already. The point is that we need to make here is that this is something which is open to all. It costs you nothing except a little of your time and an awareness, perhaps, or a questioning mind of why you are here in the first place.
Okay.
Because this really is about achieving answers
mm-hmm.
for your own understanding,
mm-hmm.
not to be interpreted by someone else necessarily. Although there may be many questions which arise from your travels and from your experiences that you have, both during meditation and also, of course, during the practice of astral traveling.
Yeah, talk about those in a moment. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about your astral body. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone 877-876-5227. I'd just like to go back to actually the fact, who actually looks after you? Okay, who decides who's looking after you? Does your doorkeeper say that you may be taken on a traveling excursion into the spirit world?
Absolutely not. The point is that you are there with an open mind. You are not bringing out any precursor to your experience. The whole point of this is that you do not have an I want to do this, therefore I will be allowed to do it. Because that actually is completely the wrong attitude to make with the spirit world. It isn't that you want, except that you are wishing to perceive or be brought into a journey of discovery, please.
Okay, so you decide that and you put yourself in that position and you ask, obviously, because you've asked for protection and everything like that.
Yes.
But not everybody's going to achieve that, are they?
The form of protection.
No, not the form of protection, but they're not all going to achieve the astral travel situation.
Of course not. Of course not. The point is that for many of you, you may have a great deal of fear about what you are possibly about to experience. Do not forget that astronauts and the like are actually taken into a centrifugal force field in order to experience out-of-body states and near-death experiences in order to align themselves with an ability to overcome these experiences and battle with them and actually enable themselves to retain consciousness or at least have an experience of having it so that they will know what to do when they regain consciousness from the experience.
Right, so they know what it feels like.
Yes, so I detract from my point. So the central issue here is that what you need to do is learn to understand that your mind may most certainly play games with you, partly because your mind is intrigued and nosy about things that you may or may not understand. And so you will have this benefit to some stages of your life of being inquisitive to certain notions, which is how, of course, you gain knowledge and understanding. However, when you are dealing with situations to do with astral traveling or anything to do with the astral body, particularly with creating wellness within the upper consciousness and those kinds of contacts that you make, you need to have an open mind. You need not to be too inquisitive, because the whole purpose of this function is that you are able to allow things to happen. If you try to interpret all the time something which is going on in your mind, or something which you are experiencing physically or spiritually through your upper body, through your consciousness state, then actually what you will be doing is interpreting along the scope of the situation, which means then that you are actually having an effect upon it, because you are trying to meddle with it. So the whole point of this is that we want you just to be still and silent and quiet, and try to allow the mind to simply become still. Yes, there's that worrisome thing again of stilling the mind, and for many of you, I understand, this is particularly difficult, particularly if you have a mind which runs at 20 to the dozen, that you are constantly thinking of things and thoughts of the day, of things that you haven't done, things that you're going to do, and things that you might do.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this material ends up as this jumble of wires in your mind and disturbs your consciousness from the equilibrium which you are seeking when you are to do this purposeful astral travel.
So would you suggest that you lay down always, or sit, or can you do it sitting?
You cannot.
No.
You need to be completely horizontal.
Okay.
And you need to have your shoes off, wear loose clothing if at all possible. You would not want to be in the bed, if it is a bed that you are lying upon.
Mm-hmm.
You would not want to have covers upon you. So, obviously, you will need to have some heating if it is something that you are doing in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make this as a silenter
an experience as possible.
And make sure that the actual mechanism that you use to heat the room is also one of silence.
And safety.
And safety, of course.
Yes. And what about
yes.
food? Presumably, don't eat a large meal for a couple of hours.
At least before. 2 hours
yes.
beforehand.
That sort of thing.
Yes, quite so.
How do you know whether you're asleep or astral traveling or going on a journey of some description? How do you know?
Well, quite simply, that really to begin with, you won't.
Sylvie?
Oh, hello?
Yeah, hello. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, no, sorry, I didn't know anybody was there.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I actually called in twice, and I didn't want to interrupt. I was still listening, though.
Okay.
Is it okay,
then.
Or would you rather
me
wait? You're talking about astral traveling, and I don't know if I experienced it or not. And may I ask you that, if you can help me, and if I can tell you what happened to me?
Yes, of course.
Okay, my name is Linda. And,
hello.
Hello, and... maybe a year or so ago, I'm a diabetic, and I was on this medication that affected my diabetes. And in the middle of the night when I would be sleeping, my diabetes would run dangerously low. And I'd be in a sound sleep, and I'd hear Linda like that, very loud. And I would jump up out of bed, and I'd run into my brother's room, because it was always my brother's voice. He'd be sound asleep in his bed. And then I would realize my sugar's low. I'd go and I'd eat something. I'd sit at the table. Now I'm talking 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when my sugar would come up, I'd be fine. I'd go back to bed. Now, was my brother astral traveling, watching over me?
Well, basically, my dear friend, even if your brother had not been consciously aware of it, he was still watching over you, just as a matter of course. Many people are like this in a caring situation or in a situation where a family member is, as it were, sometimes at risk or regarded as being at risk. So it may well be that your brother actually had this form of out-of-body experience and that actually came and interrupted your sleep so that you would wake up and deal with your diabetic problem. The point is, really, that there are situations that you may do bring about yourself so that you will enable a greater contact with your spirit self and actually have more of these experiences. Now, you note perhaps that what actually happened was that you were in a state of not actually wanting to be aware of one thing. So your consciousness was at an equilibrium. It wasn't searching for anything. And therefore, your brother's astral self was able to come and speak with you because you were not expecting it. You were not predicting it. It wasn't something that you were inquisitively making contact with. And so actually what you experienced is what many people do experience in that state of mind that you were in. That for many people, it will be a time when they will have contact with people from our side of life. Or perhaps loved ones, perhaps it will be situations which are to do with family, friends, or other members who are, as it were, during your sharing experience, that they perhaps will come to you or you will go to them. And perhaps these will be experiences you will be able to share afterward. For some, of course, they will not remember all of it or will not necessarily remember anything.
Well,
so you were most fortunate that you were able to have that experience.
Oh, it happened at least 10 times.
Well, yes, quite so. My point, my dear friend, is that this is something that you can actually bring about yourself, obviously, to help you to unravel the mysteries of your own life. Perhaps it is that you will make contact with others in the spirit world who may wish to have a message for you or actually have some contact about other things you are to do with your life from this point forward.
You know, Gregory, I thought maybe it was spirit, and because I had other situations. See, I'm a caretaker for my brother, the one that would shout my name. And the reason I went running into his room is I thought he has cerebral palsy. I thought something happened to him, but he was in a deep sleep. I've had other situations, and I'm starting to believe that maybe that's my spirit guide, but they're using my brother's voice, because I'll acknowledge that.
Well, my dear friend, they would not emanate your brother's voice. It would actually be that they would make contact with your brother during his sleep state, perhaps because they would use his voice, because it would be a recognition for you, a simple recognition, really, to begin with, to alert you to a specific situation for yourself.
Okay.
Very often, your doorkeeper, for example, would not necessarily actually make that form of contact with you. It would be some other spirit guide, because after all, your doorkeeper is the one who actually walks with you and is there as a witness to your life. So if there was any other form of contact, friend, it would actually be to do with other beings who are walking with you, who are there as helpers or whatever, perhaps to bring about conscious decisions or help you to enact certain things in your life plan, perhaps to do with your future journey. Not necessarily, of course, your future journey in the physical reality,
Gregory,
but at any time in your life.
Well, I may ask you something today. I was getting out of the car, and I just get feathers. It's usually a confirmation, especially when I'm down. It's a confirmation that Spirit's with me. And today, I know, you know, sometimes I wonder if it's a feather, you know, as a confirmation of Spirit, or sometimes it's just a plain feather that just happens to be there, and it's not Spirit. So I question that sometimes, but today I knew it was very strong. I got out of my car. I started to go into my garage. I parked my car in my driveway. I went in my garage. I turned around for some reason. I walked out, and I walked out in front of my house, and on the sidewalk was a feather. It was fairly large. It was a white feather, and in the middle of the feather was a little strip of brown. And I knew it was some Spirit, but maybe you can help me and tell me if they're trying to say something to me. Did Spirit have a message with that feather, or was it just I'm doing a good job, or is everything going to be okay? I'm really not sure what that feather meant today, but I knew it meant
something. Yes, my dear friend, people usually have reports or signatories from the spirit world or matters when they feel, matters when you feel or other people feel that situations from the spirit world are brought forward for you, usually because you are actually doing something in the right way, that they are actually looking toward you. They are trying to help you in saying, really, that yes, we are here and that we are looking upon you, or that we are guiding you in some way. I cannot be that specific as to what exactly they are saying for you, because it will be a matter for the individual. It is, however, that really, well and truly, all people should try to do their very best in their life, concerning their duty of care, of course, to themselves and others. And also, naturally, you will have a response from this if you work and walk in this way. You will have signatures from the spirit world. You will receive forms of guidance in the way of apports and simple things like that to help you on your way.
Okay, well, I hope that's helped you.
Oh, it has, it has.
Okay.
Thank you so
much. Well, thanks very much for phoning.
God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. I can't remember where we were now, but when some people actually see their body on the bed when they...
Yes, well, I was coming to that, friend.
Well, I must be psychic.
I think you must be.
Okay.
Now, so... what you would do then is, once you have made all of your arrangements and that you have settled yourself upon this horizontal bed or couch or whatever it is, then you would just simply close your eyes. You will say your prayer or invocation. Close your eyes. Have your hands in some position which is absolutely comfortable, and that what you would do is, we would want you to gradually think your cells asleep. And how you will do this is that you will begin with your toes, and you will think of yourself as being wrapped in a blanket of grey cloth. And this grey cloth is something which is neither material nor liquid, and yet it feels like a liquid, and that gradually it will move around your toes, and it will begin at your toes and gradually move up your feet. And as it does this, it will bring your mind to the sensation of the cells of your skin. And gradually, as your mind follows this blanket of protection around you, as it moves further and further up your physical body, you will be attracted to the cells of your skin as they fall asleep. You will feel your muscles gradually relax and relax and relax until you do not feel them anymore. You will feel this continuing to move up your body. And as still as you can, continue your breathing, just in a slow, gentle way. Remember, there is nothing to fear in this state, that what you are doing is you are just purely giving yourself to a conscious revelation for your life. What you will do is gradually you will feel this surge of this warmth and yet cool reflection as the gray material appears to cover your body. And through your mind, you will continue this trying to use this as an instrument of your image and vision, just for this short experiment, to enable you to relax completely throughout your body, and your whole state of mind will become calmer and gradually become silent. As you do this, as you move through this dulling down of your cells of your skin and being aware that you let go of your tension in your muscles and your limbs gradually become more and more limp, heavy yet limp, and that you feel less and less attraction to them as they move into this quiet state. What will then happen is that you will have a sense of, some people actually have a sense of panic at this point because they feel the sensation of this silence and this quiet creeping up to their throat.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, it is as though that you are drowning. You're not drowning, of course. You're just merely relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And that all you need to do is to just project and think yourself beyond this, that you are just really going into a very quiet and still space, which will help you along your journey of life. Sometimes people begin to experience a certain degree of weightlessness after this time. It may well be that you may not get any further than this, the first or second time, or even the third time, or even the 20th time of lying in this position.
Because of fear, you mean? Probably.
And it may well be because of fear that you have this situation. So just simply what you need to do to begin with is this system of learning to let go of your physical state, not to try to make it do anything, but just to let it go and let it be whatever it needs to be. The whole point of relaxing your cell structure is that by doing this, by sending your cells, as it were, off to sleep, you are actually enabling them to become still and attract less attention to your mind. By attracting less attention to your mind, you are able to let go of your awareness of what your body is or what it's touching even, so that you actually become less aware of even lying upon the bed or upon the surface that you're lying on. Perhaps it's lying on the floor, that you prefer that hard surface to be something that you do this upon. I know many people do.
Okay, so you said earlier on that your consciousness, you could see your consciousness around the whole of your body. So you're saying that your consciousness, that is your consciousness, your mind is encompassing your body.
Yes, quite so.
So I think that
because
might be helpful.
After all, your mind actually does encompass the whole of your body. But really, and actually really, my dear friend, what I was referring to with the silken state is that for someone else observing you, if you have someone else in the room who is observing you, being with you as a physical being who is staying on the physical plane, observing you as a form of protection, if that is what you wish, then that is something that that person may observe in you as a physical state.
Right. But your consciousness, your mind does encompass the whole of your body, doesn't it?
Of course. In fact, your mind encircles every single cell structure of your physical body. So actually, this is quite an interesting point upon how you can bring about the mechanic in your own physical state of how to relax your physical body totally by focusing upon certain cells or certain structures. Perhaps it may be specific muscle groups in your body. Perhaps you have certain parts of you that are tense from the day's effort, or perhaps from some pain or illness that you have. These are ways in which you may focus your consciousness into relieving that pain by relaxation, purely by allowing the cells to become quiet and still, to have less attraction of your mind, of your consciousness, upon them and upon the pain or the situation they are attracting to you, annoying you, being negative toward you. You are actually able, as a physical being, to relieve the pain that you may be in, or the discomfort of the cells as they contract through the negativity they are experiencing, that this is something that you can actually use as a tool to relieve yourself of this discomfort. It is actually how people may learn to self-heal within their consciousness experience, particularly within meditation. So then, what will happen after this, after you have become practiced at this part of the experiment, and it is an experiment, friends, that what you will actually come about within the next process, the following stage of this, is that you may experience something of extreme weightlessness. This may happen suddenly. It may be something which catches you unaware, but please, whatever you do, try to attract less attention to whatever it is that occurs. By attracting less attention to the things and the events which occur in your life, you are actually enabling your consciousness to transcend them and move beyond these activities. Why this will help you is because by allowing your attraction to move beyond it, or not to become focused upon an event, will mean that you will continue to be open to new events. It is partly, I suppose, why some people find meditation so difficult, because they cannot let go of the activity of the mind. What was that that happened then? I felt this, or I saw this color, and acknowledging it and following it in a busy way will simply drive you to distraction and will actually distract you from the causes of consciousness state and spirituality that we are trying to bring to you through these insights.
Mm.
What will then happen is that for some people, they may jolt back into consciousness. And this may happen frustratingly quite a few times. For other people, they may suddenly feel that they are floating, and that they perhaps are actually floating some feet from where they were. It may be that you have an experience of suddenly looking down upon your physical body, lying there, prostrate as it is, upon the surface. It may be that in having this experience, it again brings you back to a sharp sense of reality. What am I doing?
Yes, exactly.
And then you are repelled back again.
Well, I did it.
Yes,
and
quite
then you don't
so.
Anymore.
Yes, quite so. Absolutely. You see, so, and you might must actually try to be very careful about this, because any disturbance of attraction that you make in this way to what you are gaining as an insight or to what is actually happening to you, both physically and unconditionally within your consciousness, it will actually have an effect upon how you are able to recover the situation. Mm-hmm. It may be, of course, that if there is a loud noise or something like that, that it actually brings you back with a bang. Mm-hmm. And this can be quite uncomfortable. And if this should happen at any time, you must stay calm and still and just relax and allow the situation to just wash over you. Please do not try to attract your mind to this disturbance, because it will be overcome and you will need to recuperate from it, because it actually can be quite a shock at times.
To try and relax back into it.
Yes, quite so.
Even
if you feel that you can no longer do it and that you are disturbed and therefore you want to get up, the worst thing that you can do is to try to move at this stage. The best thing that you can do is to try to immerse yourself back into the quiet and the stillness of your consciousness, at least to bathe you with the refreshing energy of love from the spirit world and perhaps from your own energy within of the spirit within you.
Okay, so etherically and physically, well, two different things, but basically, what exactly, why are you, can you promise to us that you will come back, people will come back? What happens?
Yes, well, actually what happens is that your etheric self, some people may call it astral, I do not, I have to say, your etheric self will always come back because you are tied to your physical state by the etheric bead, that is, the bead of light which runs from your etheric or spirit self to your physical body. That was the part of the contact between your spirit and your physical state at the point of conception, and that was when the etheric bead first became illuminated between the two of you. And I have to say that this was something which continues to be actually a part of your state and a part of your reality all the way through your life, gradually as you became more and more, as your cells mutated and divided and became the being that you are, your spirit self and your whole combination, if you like, of your life became stronger and stronger through the tie of the etheric bead as it grew thicker and thicker.
Mm-hmm. Where is this attached on the body?
And where it is attached upon the body is actually through the same place as your belly button, I believe, what you would call it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
And basically it moves from the inner part outward through your back.
Ah, okay.
And that actually is why usually when you are having a spiritual experience, an out-of-body experience in some way, you will perhaps feel that you are moving through your body through the front. But actually what happens is that your spirit self moves through the back of your body between the third and fifth vertebrae of the thorax, and that actually that is the place where your spirit moves first to become, to vacate your physical body, and that it moves that way first and then comes out through the front, you see.
Okay.
And now, one of the experiences that you may have in astral travel, in purposeful astral travel, is that you have a meeting with your own identity. And what will actually happen at this time is that you will come face to face with yourself. For some people, this is actually a very difficult thing for them to do. And for some people, they may actually shudder in horror. It is not the same face-to-face with yourself that you will experience when you look in the mirror. Otherwise, you would hardly get up any morning.
No, quite. You've been watching.
Oh, this is not personal, my friend. So, it will be that for many of you, you may actually experience this, and the first time you experience it, you won't like it, quite possibly, because it can actually be quite shocking coming face to face with your own reality. This, in a sense, is also a spiritual experience, because you can define exactly how well you are doing within the setting of how good you feel about yourself.
So this isn't going to be looking at you as a physical person, but you know that you're going to be looking at you.
You know that you are going to be looking at you through your personality.
Okay. So,
because this is actually the first thing usually that is presented to you at this point. If this is an aspect of astral travel that you have. Now, this really, why I'm saying this is because this is a part of your journey which you may need to resolve, that you may need to do some work on. It may take a few times of going through this process for you to become comfortable with who you are and to actually finally let go. And then what will happen is that you, as I say, you may not actually go through this period at all. You may just move in through the other stage, which is not a stage above it. It is just that some people go through one and not the other. You may just move through the other stage where you are actually having the sensation of floating around in your room. Now, what has this got to do with your sleep? Well, simply, my dear friends, that many people during their sleep state may experience something very similar. And that for those who are actually practicing astral travel in a purposeful way in order to help their meditation may well experience a great deal of astral travel whilst they are sleeping. Because, of course, in your sleep state is a time when you are able to relax, perhaps unwind from the day's events, and also to actually feel completely at ease with your entire state of being. This will mean that what you are actually able to experience sometimes is that some people feel that they are moving through the walls of their room. This also, of course, can be quite a scary experience for some.
Feet first.
Usually feet first. It is very rare that this would be head first. This also may feel to some an alarming situation to before them. It is as though the walls are swallowing you up.
Absolutely.
But actually, it isn't. All you have to do is just take a deep breath and shut your eyes if you have to. And there you will be, outside of the walls of your room.
So that's not astral traveling.
Well, it is, and it isn't. The point is that astral traveling can be many things. It can be the journey of your consciousness state through the astral plane, or it may be a journey of your spirit through the astral plane and beyond. This very often can be a time when you are needing to be in the spirit world, perhaps for some instruction or other, or some other kind of reason of why you are there.
Unbeknown to you.
Unbeknown to you. It may have something relevant to your life now, although it may not. It may be something to do with your ultra journey, to do with your complete journey, nothing necessarily to do with your physical state of life at all.
So presumably in that instance, we wouldn't remember that or know what good that was to us or anything about it until we got back to the spirit world after we've finished
That is quite true.
Yeah, when we passed on from here, then yes. We would learn about that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you will learn the relevance, perhaps, of meeting with certain people in the spirit world. You may remember aspects of that meeting, you may not. The point is that with the journey of astral traveling, that this is actually a purposeful thing that you are trying to commit to and to enable in your life. And the reasons for it, the benefits of it, are so that you can become more aware of the journey that you face or the possibilities in your life. As I said, this is an experiment. And the point is for you to silently take notes, if you like, of the journey that you have, that you experience. Now, I'm well aware that many may feel this one-upmanship and that they will say that they are going to this place or that place or whatever. Some may be able to actually do that, but not all can, and I do not wish anyone to feel belittled by someone else's efforts. The whole point is here that you really should try to come to the understanding and the conclusion of applauding every effort that anyone makes, no matter how small it is. Do not, for anyone's sake, belittle anyone's achievement in what they are able to bring about. Just because you have gone and experienced galaxies or that you have moved beyond the universe in your present physical dimension and experienced other things whilst you are having this purposeful journey, it doesn't mean that you are necessarily any further along the road of enlightenment than they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Are we likely to encounter anything that's going to scare us other than our own mind, the creation of our own mind?
An interesting point, my friend. I'm glad that you brought it up. Many people become tormented by situations within their own minds, and that is in physical life and also in the spirit world, of course, because in the spirit world you continue with your mind and your consciousness that you have made whilst in physical state reality. That is the whole point of what you have to deal with in the spirit world and why you have to deal with it and why you should try to make amends and deal with situations now, have responsibility for what you are now, so that you do not have such a tormented time of it in the spirit world. So, to do with then situations that you may face, it may be that you come upon situations which are difficult for you to understand. It will be very rare that you will be given situations of extreme negativity that you would have to deal with in this situation purely because you are moving through a guided and protected environment. You are using this environment to actually become more aware of your abilities through your experiment. And this is actually in order to help you to relax and become more aware of self and the possibilities of the road ahead. As I said to you, this is actually an invaluable tool for you to use, perhaps, in the state of meditation, and when you can actually bring an island of peace to yourself, it will actually help you to develop that island of peace into something of knowing and understanding of some other aspect of yourself to create a greater volume of what you are, knowledge of what you are, you see.
Mm-hmm. Is a near-death experience similar?
Very similar, but not the same.
Mm-hmm.
The point is with a near-death experience is that, yes, you will have an out-of-body experience. It may be a forced out-of-body experience in that it will be something which happens very quickly. Usually these tend to happen in an accident or on an operating table or something like that. And what many people will face or have sometimes is that in an example, an operating theatre may well have certain things which are kept up above the height that normal people are looking at or observing, and that it may be that if you have an out-of-body experience, you actually see things that have been placed there by the hospital team in order to see if you actually have an out-of-body experience recognition,
mm-hmm.
and that you replay that experience back to them. I know that there are many situations of people having this kind of experience and are able to relay situations of pots or little trinkets or things that they see kept in very small private places high up, perhaps within the void of the operating room or something like that. Perhaps it is to do with conversations that they are hearing, that you are hearing during your astral plane visit, and that through your out-of-body experience you are able to relay and capture all of those experiences for your consciousness to relay them afterward. It may be, as I say, that this was an enforced traumatic experience through an accident or something like that. Some people have out-of-body experiences as full astral travels, actually at the point of contact of an accident, perhaps a car accident or something like that, and they are actually hovering above the whole scene that they are observing. Having that kind of out-of-body experience is usually through the loss of consciousness as a physical state, through trauma of some form.
All right, okay. So it's a different experience, but probably, but then the way it happens, though, is similar, is it?
So yes,
what happens
quite so.
Is different.
Yes, quite so. It will still be that your spirit will leave through the third and fifth vertebrae of the thorax,
right.
Will still, as it were, come up from that position immediately afterwards through your physical body frontwards, and will rise above the situation, perhaps some 10 or 12 feet above it, will possibly circle around the situation, will be attentive and aware of actual conversations being said and spun in physical time. It may well be, of course, that during this event you have this sensation of weightlessness, you will feel no pain, no actual feelings of being tied to it, other than being aware that you cannot move much beyond about, usually I suppose the most extreme would be perhaps 100 or so feet, because do not forget your body state at that time will be in a state of trauma, and so it will be that it won't venture that far away, usually because of the fact that if it is that your physical state passes and that you are allowed to continue on your journey to the spirit world, it will usually be that this will be something which will happen during this time or when you are quite close to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you are astral traveling on purpose in the way that we have described, it may well be that what you are undergoing is some form of a transformation. You would not perhaps believe that your etheric bead could travel, could allow you to travel so far through different dimensions,
well, exactly.
Through the universe, and that kind of thing.
Yes, is mine going to break? Is mine a faulty one?
Yes, quite so. Perhaps the rubber hasn't been completely or properly manufactured by the spirit team. Yes, quite. This will never break unless it is that you are actually moving beyond your physical state boundary to your travel in the spirit world.
But then that wouldn't be because you've astral traveled. That would be because your time's up anyway.
That will be because you have passed and your time is up anyway.
Okay. Well, that's been fascinating, Gregory. Everybody's going to go home and try that tonight now.
Very well.
Okay.
As long as they are safe.
Yeah.
And always be aware that these situations are experiments and that it is your duty of care to take utmost care of everything that you do and for you to maneuver your life in the most perfect way you can for the sake of all.
Wow, thank you very much.
God bless.
God bless you.
Upon your journey.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. And I'd like to say thank you for your call, the lady that phoned in, and thank you so much for listening, everybody. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.